Jeff's already ready.
I'm here.
All right, well, I'm going to get out of the way. He's going to preach.
All right. All right, so does this sound okay? This is the first time I've ever used a hand, hands-free. So what I'm going to say is I'm probably going to be a little more animated than usual because I'm not going to know what to do with my hands since I'm not holding one in one place. Does that work out? Good. Actually, let me do it this time. Well, I'm just going to, there it is. Open us up with a little bit of prayer. And so let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for the wonderful time that we had in your presence, glorifying your name and lifting you up. Lord, I just pray that we can continue with this heart of worship as we dig into your word and hear what you have to say to us, the truths that you have to reveal. We thank you for it all, Lord. Continue to guide us and teach us what we need to do your work here. In our time. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week, I think it leveled out. I think we're good. If you want to take the monitors out, take the monitors down, then that'll probably help that. So last week, Pastor Byron talked about putting God first in our lives and how other relationships should pale in comparison to the ones that we have with him. All of our other relationships can be made stronger when our personal relationship with God is healthy and strong. It's, you know, our relationship with God is kind of like a relationship filter here on earth. You know, we can't truly have, you know, as healthy relationships with other people if we don't have a healthy relationship with God. He's where we start. He needs to be our first priority. This doesn't and shouldn't negate the fact that we need these other relationships in our lives. We need to have relationships with other people. You know, we are relational beings. God created us to be social. And we need people around us all the time. And there's a special set of relationships that God gave every one of us. This special group of people was specially selected to go through life with you. That's right. God handpicked your family. He handpicked you and your family to go together. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, this, you've got genetics and all that, but it's not an accident. It's not some random cosmic event. Okay? So I'm trying to ease up just a little bit. you know, and I'm sure, you know, whenever we think of accidents and things like that, especially whenever it comes to our genetics and our health, that we can think of any number of people or conditions that might seem to contradict this accidental thing. I mean, you know, you can look at Chance and at his health and things like that affect him. And trying to figure out a good place to stand that I'm not going to, I feel like I'm on the verge of blasting everybody with another one of those. But, I mean, are Chance's conditions, you know, unfortunate or even inconvenient? Yeah, they are, but he's not an accident. You know, think about all the lives that he's touched, you know, by the prayers that we've poured on him and the victories he's experienced, you know, been through 50-plus surgeries. And he's still here, and he's you know, mostly in one piece. you know, I mean, God's done a great work, and so God is glorified in him. You know, but that's not God's intention. You know, and so there's nothing I think is truly by accident. God's power and goodness shines through. He makes no mistakes. But this just goes to show that sometimes in life, you know, we have challenges. We experience need. You know, real life needs. We get hungry. We need shelter. We get ill. We get lonely. You know, these are all very real areas of need in human life. But these are all also areas where our families step in. So we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 5. You can see that reference of that. I put that up there early so it kind of gives you guys a head start. So in this chapter, Paul is writing to Timothy to give guidance and provision for a specific need within the church body. And what he was actually talking about was the elder widows that were among them. He gives qualifications for who receives assistance and who doesn't. Age being the main qualifier outside of, you know, being a widow. If you were 60 and older, you qualified for assistance. I mean, Paul essentially established the first AARP program back in the day. So, but in the middle of his focus on widows, he begins to talk about some family expectations. And in one sentence, a generalized statement, he drives home an important truth that's bigger than just taking care of our elders. So let's take a look at verse 8. It says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, that is, his own household, then he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That verse is kind of scary, to be worse than an unbeliever. You see, what he was doing was he's trying to keep people from taking advantage of the church and its limited resources. But the implications here are huge. You know, that if you don't take care of your family, you deny faith. You are saying no to faith. I'm not really sure how that works, but it says that, I mean, we are worse than an unbeliever. If we don't believe that we, I guess, can take care of one another, if we can't, you know, be the caregiver, let's just put it this way, family is our first mission. It is our first ministry, if you will, as a believer. You know, we will have the biggest impact there. So if we choose not to, man, it's like cutting off our roots. I mean, the tree can't grow if it has no roots. But so where do we start with this? You need to understand humans and our needs, like in general. And there are five main categories of human need. You know, a lot of sociology will teach that there are four. Well, I add a fifth one. You have the mental, physical, emotional, and social aspects that we all understand. But then we also have spiritual. You know, and we can provide these for our families. The fact is the gospel calls us to provide for our family members, and we do this through spiritually, financially, and with our time and presence. I believe these three little categories kind of encapsulate the bigger five. And I tried to prioritize these three, but this will just vary from person to person. I mean, we all will struggle differently, the challenge in different areas, so we'll just take it as it is there. So let's start. We can provide for the spiritual needs of our families. The world leaves out the spiritual need of mankind. It doesn't need it. It sees it as unnecessary. It's superstitious. It's a crutch that we, you know, as religious people use to deal with life. That's what the world says. It is unnecessary. It's old. It's old school. It's not necessary now. We've evolved past the need for religion and spirituality. That's what they say. But what I say and what I believe is that they are blind to God and His ways, so I can't trust what they see. You know, we need to have eyes that see, as the Bible says. We need to, you know, we know the power of God. We've experienced His forgiveness in our lives. A lot of us have experienced massive transformations in our lives simply because of a little faith. God will affirm your faith and trust in Him. So we need to be ready and able to be there for our family's spiritual needs. Now, this doesn't mean that we all have to be credentialed ministers, although that would be cool. but it does mean to be ready. It means to be ready even whenever you're not ready. Be ready to breathe spiritual life into anyone around you. But start with those that are around you the most. That's your your family. I do want to say this, though. I want you to note that Christ doesn't put at the end of his call for the Great Commission, he doesn't say, if you don't, you're worse than a non-believer. You know, we only see this here at this verse where Paul is, you know, expressing to everybody, and I can reason that Paul was inspired to write this because living for Christ at home is just as important as out in the world. This is called integrity. What you're doing behind closed doors when you think nobody's watching, it's doing what's right in those moments. Our testimony to the world loses its influence if we lack spiritual integrity. So be available for the spiritual needs of your family. Pray for them. Pray with them. Don't just pray in your room alone about them. Get with them. Circle together around the need. And pray together. Read your Bible together. You know, these are all little steps, and these are things we all know, but they are huge when you implement them into your life. And let me tell you, we've experienced this, that when you begin to make a habit out of it, how much does life rear its ugly head to try to get you to stop doing those things? I can tell you any number of issues pop up whenever we go to sit down to do a family Bible reading. And they're all things, these things vie for our attention and try to distract us. And it's easy. It's easy to, well, I guess we're just not going to do this tonight. And then the next night, well, I guess we're just not going to do it tonight either. And next thing you know, it's been a week or two since you've sat down and read your Bible together and prayed, and you're out of habit. Next thing you know, it's not any serious issues that are taking up your time. It's what's on Netflix that's taking up your time. Been there, done that. This isn't like I'm just crashing down on you. This is for me too. But sometimes those around us, they need to be comforted. They need to be given peace. They need to be provided for. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says to encourage one another and hold each other up. So be a spiritual example for your family. This makes you trustworthy and dependable in my book. I think of all things, being a spiritual example in your family holds more water than the other ones. Now, the other ones are very real life and practical, but being spiritual myself, I put a lot of weight on spiritual things. If we can provide for, our eternities, then I think we're doing a good job. But we can't just stop there. We have to go to the tangible things too. Now, providing for our family's financial needs, this can be a tough area for a lot of people, because we live in the world that we do. We have to provide for our families financially, right? But I also think, like I said, this depends on your personality, whether or not you're going to struggle in this area. Parents work jobs to provide an income for things like shelter and for food and medicine, transportation, all of it. It's a heavy burden to carry in this world. Things are expensive. And I would say that parents, you've got your work cut out for you. Because it's not always easy, and sometimes one job isn't enough. I know I work a couple of jobs, but I guess I like what I'm doing, so it's not that bad. But you push through because there's something in you that moves you forward. You've got children to provide for, but I know even in this day and age, that's not even enough motivation for a lot of parents, just having kids. And it's hard to say that, but that's where we're at. You don't want your kids to suffer, and you don't want DCFS knocking down your door. But, whatever your motivation might have been, I hope now it can be 1 Timothy 5:8. You don't want to be worse than an unbeliever. You don't want God to look down on you, But I do want to shift this. That kids, you guys aren't off the hook either. All right, you can help too. If you get an allowance for doing your chores, maybe do your chores on a, you know, for free on occasion. You know, or maybe stop asking for the newest phone or those $100 jeans when the $7 ones at Goodwill will cover your rear end just as well. Just saying. Forgive me. I just want to make sure you guys are paying attention. But we don't want to see that either. You know, but sometimes helping our families calls for a sacrifice. But it should be worth it to show how much you love and care for them. You know, some kids, I'll get to this in just a second, you know, some of them, as they get older, will start to work jobs, and that helps. But that's all part of it. You know, to be able to pay for, you know, your car insurance and the cell phone you think you need to have and all that stuff. Whenever you can start paying for things like that on your own, dude, that helps your family. You're doing what God wants you to do, being a productive member of your family. It's great. I would say the final area of need that we all experience that we can provide for each other is in the areas of time and presence. That's not to be confused with presence. You know, like that's financial. That's the other thing. But being with one another, listening to problems, sharing stories, just experiencing life. This is, you know, time. I think that's the most precious commodity that we've got, because, you know, it's not renewable. At least this side of heaven, it's not renewable. It's not recyclable. You know, we can't stash it away and save it for later. Each one of us has 24 hours in a day to do things. So once it's used, however you choose to use it, that's it. It's gone. You know, we each get so much of it, so we need to use it wisely. And investing our time into our families is a good investment. It's a good thing. When we give our time and attention to meet the needs of our families, it says a lot, especially in today's society. You know, eating around the dinner table may seem pretty old-fashioned to some. But, I mean, I can even say so myself. I mean, I don't necessarily, we don't eat around the kitchen table, but we eat together. You know, we talk, and I mean, it doesn't matter where we're at to me, whether we're at a restaurant or sitting in the driveway, on the floor in the living room, it doesn't matter. Wherever we do it together. Others might invest in a nice dining room table set, you know, with like 18 chairs and whatever. That's great. Hey, if that's what it takes, do it. You know, but be intentional. You know, spend time together. Be open to your family, whether that's giving or receiving help. I heard one time that in order for a husband and wife to have a satisfying and successful marriage, the goal of the husband should be to please his wife, look out for her happiness. And the goal of the wife is to please her husband and look out for his happiness. And so that way the goal of each is to build up and encourage the other. Therefore, they're holding each other up. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. If everyone in the family is focused on each other's happiness, no one is left out. And we will all live fully satisfied in our relationships with our family members. And in the same way, it's the same way in the whole family unit. We hold each other up. This is what God intended for our families. This is why he designed the family unit the way he did, so that we could be there and hold each other up and support each other. But then this also filters through to his family. These principles apply to the church as well. That each member of the church, of the body of Christ, is important. You know, no one should be left behind. No one should be left out. You know, we should all be sharing in the heavy lifting, lending an ear, supporting the mission of the church. And when we all do our part, the family succeeds. It grows, it gets stronger, it experiences victory. And we experience this on personal levels and as, you know, corporate as well, as the body. We experience victory on all levels. So this is really quick. But this morning, there might be some of you that struggle in this area of support, you know, in the idea of family support, whether you don't feel like you get it or you don't feel like you give it. You know, maybe yours hasn't been supportive, and or maybe they are non-believers. I don't know. But honestly, I think that's all the reason to shine brighter. If that's you, I would ask that you make your way to the altar. Let us pray for extra strength and peace for you. Let us pray for your needs as family. And I would say, the rest of you, gather with your families that are here with you today. Pray together. Pray for one another. Ask each other's needs this morning. If you haven't done this, let this be the time when things start to change, that you begin to form habits that support each other. Because any church you go to, but I'm going to speak for GC first, we want our families to be healthy. We want the best for each of you. We want the best for each of you individually, and in order for you to have that, it helps whenever your family is healthy and supportive, and you guys you have a common goal. And then whenever your families are healthy and successful, that helps this body to be healthy and successful. And that doesn't mean you're not allowed to have needs. We are humans. We are alive. You're going to have them. Well, that's why we're here. That's why your families are there. That's the goal. That's what God has provided. And don't worry if you don't necessarily have, like, you know, a bio family here, like your actual family here. Just remember, you have blood family, because your blood in the Christ blood. You have Christ blood family here. So right now, let's stand up. Gather with your families. Okay? And if you don't have family here, families, look around for people that might be on their own, and open up and welcome them in. Be receptive, because we are all family. Don't let anyone be left out. If you're here today, as families are gathering together, if you're here today and you aren't a part of the family of God, I want you to know that here now is the time that the Lord wants you to be in His family as one of His children. So if you would like the love and support that comes with that, come forward and accept the invitation to be in Christ.